We're interested in them, you know, one of the ecologists once said that ecosystems are functionally stabilized, immobilized endpoints. So enzyme activity can be as indicators, can be individual processes, mechanism involved, switch activity, or sometimes even for any other function like bioremediation. So, and the assay also itself is very easy to perform. So it's very, very popular. Okay, today I'm going to talk briefly touch the major parts of the fundamental science and focus on a couple of points that I want to mention, and then the need for comparison, some of the concerns, and hopefully provide a couple of solutions. Okay, the fundamental science most of you already are aware of, it's very simple. We treat soil as a black box, you know, so complicated. And in 1969, when Tabatabai Brenner discovered, if you put paracetamol into soil, the solution, and you can quantify it without very strong background noise, because it's a very nice, bright yellow color. There's only one trick, though, for that yellow color. So what we do is this synthesized artificial substrate. We add it. What is the pointer?
The main button.
Oh, this is the point. Yeah. Oh, yeah, wonderful. Okay, the engineered substrate, we added something that can be detected. And when the enzyme cleave it, then we can quantify this. This circle is something unique that we have very, very low background in the soil. So most of the time we quantify the product release. And if that circle could be paracetamol, or something with color, actually doesn't have to be paracetamol, any color. As long as that color is fairly unique against soil background. Or fluorescent. And it's a fluorescent compound used that getting a lot of interest in microplate format acid. So paracetamol has a couple of interesting attributes, and one of them that sometimes we overlook is this. It is yellow only in Auckland condition. So that against the argument, people say, you know, I can track enzyme activity in situ soil pH condition. What is this acidic soil that makes it apply? Because it cannot detect that color. That doesn't mean that they don't have activity. And for fluorescent compounds, they also have a couple of things that is important. One is it's not soluble, or not soluble in water, and it's freely soluble if it's salt. Now, here's one I want to do. It's also pH sensitive. It's more than just pH sensitive. It's also sensitive to temperature, sensitive to any other solvent. So today I'm just talking about pH sensitivity, just one of the factors that could affect it. Okay, commonly used format of enzyme assays. We call it bench scale, is the one that Tabatabai and co-workers has developed. Those are larger quantity, usually 1 to 5 grams of soil, and they use a lot of glassware in the assay. So washing dishes is not one of many people's favorite. And microplate format assay, it's small, you know, if you have used it, and it has very little suspension and solution. Maximum unit is 250. Well, it's 300, but you don't want to go all the way to edge. So I usually do that 250, 200. And the detection is PMP, paracetamol, or fluorescent. LUF is one example. Now, for microplate assay, usually people use LUF, which is lung sensitive. PMP you can detect it, but the low is much higher. And then you can also quantify based on slope, not only input. Most of the assay methods that are developed by Tabata's group, there are input measurements. Because there's no way you can track that change of color if you're going to filter it. So you start the reaction and end at a certain time, and then the activity is, you know, per unit of time. So you can calculate. So there's an input. You cannot, you're not tracking, monitoring the change of the color. Okay. Here is the case slide that I will present is that there's a Benji scale method, and this is microplate. Only pointing out two things. One is the quantity of soil in each assay. Most of them is 1 gram. And look at this, for the microplate test, it's 0.83 milligrams. Very, very small. And people argue, so why don't you use more soil? Yes, how do you pipette mud? Because you have to pipette it with multi-channel pipetter. Another thing is that this protocol, well, okay, use the bench scale method, use sodium hydroxide to terminate the reaction, its endpoint measurement. So this method also uses sodium hydroxide, this protocol. Now what does this mean? This protocol of microplate formed assay is directly lifted from the bench scale without being tested. We just wrote the protocol on paper and start using it. Well, it looks so easy, so simple. You add the substrate, and then you incubate under buffer condition, without buffer condition, and you measure end product. It's just a color of fluorescence, right? So simple, we think we could do it. But there are some issues related to it. Okay, from the sensitivity point of view, the argument is okay, MUF is much more sensitive. But when I did the calculation, this is kind of a lot of involved. But one of the things I want to point out is in chemistry, call it limit of detection or limit of quantification. Now let's look at limit of quantification. Even though fluorescence is much easier, more sensitive to detect, but limit of quantification for activity of this in the activity express, it's actually lower than bench scale. So what that means is that if you have soil has very, very low activity, it's more accurate use bench scale than use MUF. That is because that number is not only affected by the detection, limit of detection, but also affected by the variability. When it's so sensitive, you have more variable. And then that way, it's limit of quantification is actually has higher activity can be quantified, quantitatively detected. That's one point I want to point out. Another thing is the sensitivity to pH. MUF is just like like pyrophenol. It's also pH sensitive. And the highest sensitivity is between pH 10 to 11. So when you terminate the enzymatic reaction with sodium hydroxide, you also lift the pH up. So it can be sensitively detected. Now why do we have pH? And I'm using the same example that I used before is there are studies using MUF method compared to batch scale, and they're saying the KM value could be two orders of magnitude different. Huge differences in the kinetics. Now the argument was that, okay, because they have different substrate analogy, and maybe they have different affinity with the enzyme and substrate. Okay, that's possible. But there are also other possibilities if the method is misleading. Now this one, this study, they compared the two different methods, bench scale and microplate format, with different enzyme analogy. And they found the enzyme activity could be 100-fold different in the same soil for the same enzyme. Now I don't buy that. If the method is good, it doesn't matter how you quantify it, the activity should be about the same. If you are getting an activity from the same soil for the same enzyme, 100-fold difference, you have a problem with the method. Okay, so we came out with a whole bunch of hypotheses. Fundamentally, we say, well, there should be the same magnitude of enzyme activity. Actually, this data that I'm not sure, I had my student summarize all the 50 papers. We found 50 papers on enzyme acid. For the similar enzyme and different protocol compared, the activity span over like a million times different. That's a huge difference. Is it methodological or is actually those enzymes really has that much variability in soil or in the soil environment? So one of the issues is replication. You know, we do in the, we do assays in the laboratory. We know that it's important to replicate. Most of the microplate format assays are not replicated. So what do you mean not replicated? I replicate 16 times, but from the same soil suspension. People would make one suspension, 1 gram of soil, 120 ml of water, and stir it up, and then pipette 16 times, put in a microplate. So you're not replicating this soil suspension. And it's been published. Most of the protocols, if you look, it's not replicated. Quenching. When you have fluorescence in soil, soil quenches the fluorescence. And that one, from chemistry point of view, is okay, no big deal. I just developed a calibration curve with the soil suspension. So there's a solution to it. And it's effective time and sodium hydroxide. Now this is specific to sodium hydroxide. Remember they made protocol has been lifted from the bench scale directly to microplate. So people are using sodium hydroxide to terminate the reaction. But we discovered fluorescence changes, diminishes every minute. So one of the papers says, well, if you measure within 20 minutes, you'll be okay. It goes down a little bit, but you can, you know, can ignore it. And I think today I'm not going to touch that. You can also quantify based on slope instead of input. If you're using fluorescence, that is an advantage because that's realistic and that's how, you know, you quantify in that technique. Anyway, so here is some of the data that shows quenching. This is without soil, and this is with different soil. You see, apparently it's quenching quite a bit. So there's no other way but develop a calibration curve with the soil suspension. And I also, based on what I've looked at the LEOQ limited quantification data, I recommend you test it with your method or your condition. Find this value, and if the inductivity is lower than this value, don't spend too much time trying to interpret it because it won't be as accurate. Now, this is a big one. Is when you add sodium, after you add sodium hydroxide, it goes up so fast. This is 30 minutes, 60 minutes, you know, it's just not accurate. And fortunately, we found a solution to it. Instead of using sodium hydroxide, use sand buffer. Very often. pH 12. And when you put mixed with soil suspension, the pH is always around 9.5 to 10. It doesn't go to 12. But if you use that, look at three, after 3 hours, it still kind of holds together. So that you can relax. You don't have to worry about as much. And another, we were trying to uplift some of the concerns is Richard has led an effort, international collaboration. And what we did is like we have 5 labs and we are using the same soil, use 2 different protocols and try to compare and say if the methods are comparable. And we found that the data actually is very, very comparable. And we just have the manuscript is in the process being reviewed. And what I, with that data, what I did the calculation, I found out that not only comparable, the slope is fairly consistent. It's the bench scale PMP method seems a little more sensitive. It's about 1.12 fold of those based on MUFA microplate methods. So, very not only consistent, but also you can pretty much calculate it. It has a little bit difference, but not 100 fold or not 2 orders of magnitude difference. Okay, I think, yeah, I don't have time to talk about this one is you can track based on time, which is wonderful. So if you are interested in quantifying method, the enzyme assay, you can track over like, you know, with microplate, with the fluorescence, you can just set up timer and measure it every 15 seconds or so. So that is wonderful. And when I did that, I don't have time to show the data, I think I did it this morning. When I did that, it's has a little bit difference. We found out it's a little bit. Yes. Yeah, I'm pretty much done. So I'm not going to have to talk about at least this soil, and then there's the difference. The top ones are based on endpoint, and the lower ones is based on monitoring over time, slope. And the activity actually come out a little bit different. It's not identical. So that is very interesting. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense in a way, but that's what we found out. Anyway, so conclusion, I'm going to finish here, so we can question. So we're making progress. It's funny that we're going back to drawing board and look at the pH, look at some simple thing like, you know, the ratio between soil suspension, soil and then solution. Some simple factors would affect the activity that much. And there's a lot more details. In addition to the pH, we need the time, and also there's kinetics, and we can look at that. Also other factors. How do you incubate? How do you make like 37 degrees? Do you put in a solution and the solution instantly turn to 37 degrees? How long it takes to get 37 degrees or 40 degrees? So all those factors could affect our method or our end result. So you want data to be comparable, it's very challenging to really lift the protocol and then do exactly the robust protocol and get data that's really, really comparable. And for example, you incubate in an incubator. I remember that in Tabata's lab, they had a huge incubator. So the temperature actually holds pretty well. You put it in, it's always consistent. Because my data using the same incubator, same condition, the data is always reproducible. It's wonderful. I use a different incubator, it's much smaller. Every time I open the door, the temperature drops 10 degrees. And then you get your data, end result also affected. I did a measurement. The temperature actually would not reach the temperature I wanted until I got about an hour. My husband is a temperature stress physiologist, so he had all this data logger, and he can monitor the temperature for me. It's like, your data is not, you know, the temperature you think. When you calculate Q10 value, when you calculate kinetics, temperature is important. One suggestion, I did publish a paper before. One suggestion, use water bath. That really instantly improved that challenge. Something fairly simple. So I think method standardization is important because when we conduct any studies, if you conduct within your, compare within your study, no big deal because you're using the same protocol, same kind of assay condition, your data will most likely be comparable. But if you are comparing across studies, I want to compare my data with his data. Oh, I just took a different trend. What is it? Is it a real trend or is it methodological induced? So you want one of the interests in linking end activity to ecosystem functions. That is a lot, I think it is a lot of data and really good statistic analysis and then mathematical modeling. So with that, I think I'll conclude my talk. Thank you very much.